This program is sponsored by Love Radio Network.
Get ready to kick up some dirt and mud because it's time for San Diego Off-Road Coalition Radio with Dave Stahl. SDORC is here to further off-roading as a safe family experience while promoting and preserving the natural environment. So whether it's bikes, buggies, trucks, or trikes, San Diego Off-Road Coalition Radio brings you the latest news and initiatives in preserving the use of off-highway vehicles and protecting the land and wildlife at the same time. Because together, everyone achieves more. Now, here is your host, Dave Stahl.
All right, folks, welcome back. Or not welcome back. Welcome to SDORC Dirt Radio, FM 96.1, AM 1170.
The answer.
All right. We're talking Alpha
Site Logistics.
Absolutely. If you're going out to the desert and you're doing an event, you want to be legal and prepared, and Alpha Site Logistics can do it all for you. They have portable toilets, hand wash stations, hand wash trailers, shade trailers, dumpsters, and a whole lot more. Give them a call, 760-352-8383. Tell them you heard it right here on Dirt Radio, and they will hook you up. Audrey Mason, Ed Stovin in the house. We have a celebrity on the line.
Yes.
A very, very special guest. I kind of hung out with her last week with Silverado ZR2. We can't talk about driving impressions, but we could talk about her Miata. Hey, Emmy, how you doing, kid?
Hi, guys. What's up?
What are you doing?
What?
Sounds like you're in the dirt. Sounds like you're in the desert. What are you doing?
No, I live up in Yucca Valley, so I can be closer to the desert and closer to Johnson Valley and stuff. And I'm just hanging out here on my back porch, and it's absolutely gorgeous day.
Are you drinking a Diet Dr. Pepper?
You know I am.
But I got to tell you, girl, I don't know how you made it through that Silverado event. I looked everywhere, and there was not one Diet Dr. Pepper.
I know. I had to make do with Diet Coke. It was terrible.
Well, you know Audrey Mason. She's sitting here chatting about it. But, hey, you got an event coming up that you'd like to talk about?
Well, I have an event that I just did that I think you guys want to hear about.
Oh, okay. What you got?
Well, so me and two other American teams went out to Saudi Arabia to race in the very first all-women's motorsport event in Saudi, and it was incredible.
Now, compare that to other, like the Dakar, well, not Dakar, but I guess the
Gazelle. I believe you've done the Gazelle as well, haven't you? A few times, right?
Yeah.
Comparing that to the Gazelle, what would you say is different?
Well, so the thing you have to realize about Saudi is that, women just got the right to drive there. And as much as Saudi certainly has a lot of political issues and a lot of human rights violations, the country is attempting to open up and making sure that women can drive. And then holding this event is like one very, very small step in the right direction.
Mm-hmm.
I still have a lot of issues with the country itself, but being able to go and participate in this was pretty amazing. So for this event, women have only been driving for 5 years. So what they wanted to do here was they wanted to make it accessible. So everyone was in essentially a stock vehicle. So there were no roll cages. There were no, you didn't need to wear a fire suit, anything like that. And it was not a rally for speed. Instead, it was a rally for navigation. Unlike the Gazelle Rally, which is a rally for navigational accuracy where you have to go in the shortest distance possible, this rally instead used road books and Dakar-style navigation. So we had a rally computer and we had hidden waypoints that we had to validate. It's just that we didn't have to worry about speed. But then that's really hard to score, right? Because, pretty much everyone's going to get those checkpoints. It's not that hard. Mm-hmm. It's difficult when you're going at speed, but it's not that hard to follow roadbook. So the way they kind of differentiated the teams was we had what's called an average speed challenge. So there were four of these sections spread throughout the three-day competition where essentially we had to drive a set speed for a set distance. And, it was normally really slow, 38 kilometers per hour. And
if you think
driving fast is hard, you should try driving slow.
Well, that is not in your vocabulary. I can't even imagine. Jeez, you must have put a brick on your foot so you know to hold it away from the pedal. Well, now what kind of vehicle were you driving?
So we were guests, which was awesome, because everything was comped for me, which was great. And then I was put into a Toyota Fortuner, which is essentially like a two-row SUV, a midsize SUV on a Hilux chassis. So it's still a body on frame, but it has, I don't know if you guys have ever driven this, like the base model Tacoma 2.7 liter.
Sure.
It's terrible. Like it's so slow.
But you got invited. Will you? I mean, geez, they're going to hang you with a new rope and you're complaining.
No, it's so. No, that is a fact. It is slow.
That's
you know, and it has a 6-speed automatic from Toyota that, like, you know, if you put it in quote sport mode, which is not really a sport mode, and like maybe you can kind of shift it yourself, it'll get the job done. But for anyone who is considering a Toyota, don't get the 2.7 liter, like get the upgrade. 4 liter is a lot better.
That's so funny.
What kind of terrain were you driving through hopefully you weren't like lugging through and dogging down the whole time, like what kind of terrain?
Yeah, most of it was pretty easy. It was a lot of flat stuff. There was some, there were a lot of power line roads, you know, like that kind of
fire
stuff.
Fire road
like
an and power
easy,
line,
like
yeah.
An easy, yeah, like a graded dirt road type of stuff. They did put us into a little bit of soft sand, and that's where that Toyota was the hardest to deal with, just because it's such a dog.
Yeah.
But, you know, you just have to know that you need to get a little bit of momentum and keep it in the high revs, and so... You know, we never got stuck or anything like that. But, you know, the driving isn't that hard. But, you know, like I said, these women have only been driving for four years. So you can't be like, okay, we're going to go rock crawling now, because they just don't have that experience to be able to do that.
So right. you had a lot of local women in this event.
We did. We did. Every team had at least one Saudi, I believe every team or almost every team had at least one Saudi member, which was just awesome. And I mean, like, they were so stoked
be
a part of it. And I think the organizers underestimated how competitive we would be. You know, I think they thought that we were just gonna, like, you know, like, oh well, these, they're just women, so they're just gonna like go out and have a good time. And it's like, well, yeah, we are, but we all wanted to win, and we all were like, you know, really kind of jonesing for it and trying to eke out like any little advantage that we could. And I think it surprised the organizers.
Oh, wow.
So do you think from this event, the organizers are so impressed that it's going to happen next year and next year and next year? Is it going to be a regular deal?
Yeah, I think it will be. I would love for them to make it a little bit longer. You know, like 3 days on a 3-day rally, like you're just getting into it. Mm. You're just feeling comfortable. And then suddenly it's gone. And you don't really have that that opportunity, like in the Rebel rally, to like be broken down and built back up type of thing.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Well, so, yeah, but you...
I'm hoping...
But you can understand. But you can understand first time. I mean, first time.
Oh yeah.
Yeah, you got to really, you know, baby steps. You know, to get everybody. Because, you know, if you made it hardcore, you know, like what you're normally used to riding in, these ladies probably wouldn't come back next year if your life depended on it.
Oh right. And you have to take people out of their comfort zones kind of a little bit by a little bit. They were all just so great, and they were so excited to be there. It was really fun. I didn't know what to expect by going there. I was real, you know, they wanted us to put the flag next to our names. I was like, I don't know if I want to put an American flag on my car. Like, dude, it was amazing. It was amazing. Like, they were so happy to see us. They wanted to speak to us. They wanted to invite us to their house for dinner. They were so helpful. We would see, you know, men driving in. There were so many great cars there.
I tell you what, kiddo, we got to take a break. Can you stay one more segment?
Okay. Yeah.
Absolutely. Go ahead, get another Doc Diet Dr. Pepper. We'll be right back with S-D-O-R-C Dirt Radio, FM 96.1, AM 1170.
The Answer.
All right. right, folks, welcome back to STORC Dirt Radio, FM 96.1, AM 1170.
The Answer.
Let's talk Wayne Miller Tire, kid.
Wayne Miller Mobile Tire out in Santee. He's here for any of your tire needs. You got your daily driver. You need to tie your new tires in alignment. He's here to help you out. You're stuck on a job site. You got a tractor trailer stuck on the side of the road. He's got those mobile trucks. Give him a call at 619-596-2800.
And if you mention STORC Dirt Radio, will give you a great discount and tell them that Audrey's sitting, and you might even be able to park in her special parking space because she goes through tires like candy.
I just had to take mine in.
See, I told you. Hey, we are talking with Emmy Hall, who just came back from Saudi Arabia on a three-day adventure with Saudi women. It was a women's only event. And
first ever of its kind.
Yeah. Emmy, who put this event on? Was it the Saudi Arabians or was it a U.S. company?
No, it was put together by Hassan Jamil and that family. Oh. I believe they own like all of the Toyota dealerships in the Middle East and a bunch of other things. Like, they're really, really rich. he's also incredibly good looking. Oh my gosh, I thought I was going to die. He's so tall and good looking.
Well, and that's what that's what the rally was called, wasn't it? The Jamil
tall,
rally?
It was Rally Jamil.
Okay.
Yeah, and it was amazing. We would see, we'd drive along and we'd see men driving in the Prados or their Mitsubishi Monteros and all of that. And they would honk and they would wave and they would give us a thumbs up and they were wanted to take pictures and shoot video and stuff. And then on the first day of the rally, we had some spectators granted they were all men, but they were spectators lining the course. And it was the same thing, just like thumbs up and waving, cheering. And yeah, I didn't know what to expect. And my mind was 100% blown.
Yeah. Oh, I bet. I mean, were there women lining the streets too, or only men?
No, so we didn't see, when we got to the off-road part, I didn't see any female spectators, but we did see some women, just normal women that were not part of the rally, driving around towns, and not a lot, but when we did, windows were rolled down, we're like, oh my gosh, hi, and they're like, hi, we're like, this is so cool, and they're like, yeah, so like everyone was just, it was really excited to see us, and I think the Saudi women were excited to see. Even if they weren't participating in the rally, they were excited to see, Americans and other women out there, just being cool and doing cool things.
So did you go from town to town, or did you go like through the desert and have to camp and get a whole base camp set up? And
yeah, they gave us one base camp. The rest of the time we were staying at hotels, which is a little not really what I'm used to. And we also could keep our phones. And I was like, this is terrible. I don't want to have my phone. Like, I'm just so distracted looking at my phone. But yeah, we had one night of camp. Oh, it was glamping. I mean, it was in like this kind of like a park. And they had these tents set up for us with like Bedouin tents with like actual beds and electricity. So it certainly was not like hardcore camping. Yeah, I was like, this is great. I'm going to sleep like a baby.
So how is the food over there? I'm always curious about when you go to a country like that. I mean, did they cater to your type of diet or did you eat what they ate?
We only really got to eat in the hotel. So I really wanted to get out to like a local restaurant, but it just timing wise and stuff, it just didn't really happen. But I mean, it was all like local Saudi food. I love Middle Eastern food. I think it's great. Uh-huh. So it was really good. There's also a large contingent of Indian and Pakistani immigrants there. And I will eat that food like all day long. So I didn't have a problem with the food, although I did have to just drink regular Diet Pepsi, which is not the same, but what are you going to do?
I know. So what was the result? Where did you place? How well did you do?
So we had some penalties that we protested and we were ignored.
Kind of penalties did you get?
Do you want to share? Too fast?
I can share. So I don't know if you guys know about in the Dakar rally, there's transit stages and there's special stages, right?
Uh-huh.
And so when you go from a transit stage to a special stage, you cross like a timing control and then you have like 5 minutes or something to start your special stage. Well, they didn't, the explanation of that wasn't really all that clear. Mm. And we understood how it worked, but most of the other people did not understand how that worked. And so people were really backed up in between the timer in that 5 minute section. There were just a ton of cars. And so we were like, well, I guess we're just waiting here until we can start. And so we did, and we were over that 5 minutes, and so we got a penalty. And we were like, well, we couldn't go anywhere. Like, it wasn't our fault. But that they were like, well, you could have gotten out of the car and given your time card to the timing person. And we're like, I mean, I guess, but sure, fine. So we got a penalty for that. And then they had given us very, very tight transit times to get back to the hotel. And we were late on one of those. But, you know, we didn't want to speed because, you know, we don't want any penalties for speeding. And so we were late coming back. And I was like, look, I'll take that penalty. That was an honest penalty. But so, like, in the 5 minute zone, I was like, that's some bull crap right there.
Yeah. I would have done the same thing, especially if it was all lined up and you had to wait for your timer to go.
Yeah. Yes. Yeah. But anyway, so. So we ended up, I think Lynn Woodward and her navigator, Sedona Bilson, they won a stage on day three, and they ended up third, or they ended up fifth. We ended up sixth. And then it was a mother-daughter American team, Dana and Susie Saxton.
They ended
eighth, I believe. But first place was a Swedish Dakar champion. She'd won the Dakar in her class. And then I can't remember her name, but she is a racer for Extreme E. So they won. They got first place, which is pretty cool.
I know who you're talking about. I'm blanking on her name, too.
Yeah, I know exactly who you're talking about.
Kayla, maybe?
Yeah, I think it's not. She's a real small girl.
Yeah. So they won. And then... there was an American expat who was living in Saudi, and then a gal from the UAE, and they got second place, which was great. And then third place was a Saudi woman and another woman from Spain.
Wow.
Yeah.
So if they do it again next year, are you going?
I mean, I'll go if it's a little bit longer.
Yeah, that's a lot of flying for 3 days, let me tell you.
Well, there's
it's a lot of flying for 3 days.
You're just getting into the swing of it, too. Just like with, you need to feel it out and get into a rhythm with your partner and knowing the terrain and where you're at. And
exactly. And getting all your communication down, it's a different kind of communication style than in a lot of the other navigational rallies that I've done because, Rebecca, my navigator, is going off of a road book, and we have a rally computer. So there's different ways to communicate information to each other. So
are you taking hardcore notes? Because I was talking to Audrey off air.
Uh-huh.
You need to write a book. I hope you're taking. I mean, I'm serious. You know, there's not a lot of women out there that do the stuff that you do. And I think if you were to keep notes, you could write a serious book.
I mean, Emmy is pretty prestigious. She's raced the Baja. She's raced in Ultra 4. She's raced the Gazelle. She's now raced the first Saudi Arabia. She's done Rebel Rally multiple times. Like, I can't even. She's.
Hey, are you thinking about getting into that that E racing?
You know, they had a search for some rookies, and I lobbied hardcore. I was like, look, I'm the one that I've got the most electric experience in a motorsport event with driving the Rivian and the Bell for 2 years. I've got over 3,000, 4,000 kilometers in that rig in a motorsports event. I'm like, I got it, man. But they didn't listen to me. And I talked to Michaela, and she was like, there were a lot of people that bought a seat for that rookie thing. I was like,
buying it for sure.
It's pretty cool. I watch it whenever it comes on TV, and
that's great. It's great.
Awesome.
Yeah.
I love that.
So what's your next off-road event that you're going to go do?
Well, Rebecca and I are, we're hoping to do the Sonora rally that's far away. It's in October. But that's a little mini Dakar
that is
in northern Mexico. And that is with speed. So we would like to, she and I have never really navigated with speed before. So we'd like to try our hand at that. And then, my 16 car is kind of, in a few pieces, here in the high desert. So we'll see if I can get that together for something pretty soon. But, you know, racing's expensive, and it's tough to find time now that travel is picked up again.
Yeah, well, and sponsorships, too. So did anybody sponsor you over there that you would like to give a shout-out to?
Well, you know, we always bring our Max Tracks wherever we go. And so I brought my little mini Max Tracks because they were perfect to travel with. I didn't get a chance to use them because I'm just so good I never got stuck. But, you know, I love those little mini Max Tracks. I got them originally for the off-road Miata just because I didn't need to bring those giant full-size Max Tracks. And they right. turned out to be really great.
Well, I got to tell you, Audrey and I were talking, and I says, Emmy was very happy that you stopped to help her. She says, stop to help her? I mean, she dragged those Max Tracks out her
coat. Dude, Rebecca's a
Rebecca
beast.
Rebecca grabbed those
she
things
grabbed
out.
Them
was
and
a
was
beast.
Shoveling and just went at it. Yeah, right? And it was like, yeah. They
you don't
are amazing.
Need my help.
We stood by just in case I needed to give her a tug or a yank or, you know, but... You guys are awesome.
Yeah.
Well, I remember because we were like not having a good day in the dunes that day when we saw you.
Yeah.
And, Becca was like, follow their line. I'm like, with pleasure.
Well, hey, thank you very much for taking time. I was so happy to see you at the Silverado event. Maybe once I think the embargo's over on the 12th. Maybe I'll get your opinion of what you thought of the ZR2 maybe in the next week or two when you've got some time. We'll have you call
yeah.
back in because you're always a joy to talk to.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, well, thanks, you guys. It's always good to, like, ow, sorry, I just got stuck by my door. get out and talk to you guys.
You're so funny.
You're so electrical.
Yes, you are. You're just a spark. All right, kiddo. Well, we'll let you get back the rest of your afternoon. Thanks again. Hey, if folks want to follow you around, what's the best way to do that?
Yeah, I'm on Instagram at YaEmmy, YaEhEmmy. That's probably the best way.
All right, kiddo. Thanks a lot. We'll talk to you down the road.
All right. Thanks, guys.
Thanks, Emmy.
All right, folks, we're going to take a quick break. You are listening to... STORC Dirt Radio, FM 96.1 AM 1170.
The Answer.
All right, folks. Hey, welcome back to STORC Dirt Radio, FM 96.1 AM 1170.
The Answer.
This segment's brought to you by PRMI Mortgage. Chris Wiley, tell us about him.
Primary Residential Mortgage Inc. is here to help you out with any of your home buying needs. If you're a first-time buyer, he can help you through the grants that the U.S. government's handing out right now. If you're looking to refi your home, do the VA, FHA, he's there to help you out in any way that you can. Give him a call at 619-722-1303.
All right. So, hey, guys, that was fun having Emmy on. Wait, before we do that, in 1982, Steve and Sherry Kukula founded San Diego Off-Road Magazine. Go to SSORM, check out their magazine. It's online. That's SSORM.com. You get everything and anything off-road. Check these guys out. All right, so what's kicking? Any good news?
Good news.
I want some good news.
About the Dirt Rider Foundation.
Oh, yeah, that's some excellent news. Desiree Bates teamed up with San Diego Off-Road Coalition, I think eight years ago now, I think, as we adopted her. She was doing some really good stuff for Ocotillo Wells. Mm-hmm. Ocotillo Wells was in the reauthorization of its, not the reauthorization of its.
It's no, the lawsuit.
The lawsuit for it to so make it trails only. Mm-hmm. So basically it would be no more open desert. So it's the Open Desert Initiative. They
tried to make it stay on the trails only in Ocotillo Wells, this lawsuit.
Yes.
And so she and I got together. We worked on this and we thought, well, we need to do something more radical to try to focus on that. Mm-hmm. And she came up with Fight for Ocotillo Wells.
Yeah, it's funny, I don't know if you knew it, but she worked with me on KUSI.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
She's
a producer.
And all of a sudden, she bought a dirt bike.
Yep.
And next thing you know, she's racing hardcore.
Yeah.
And now she's so engrossed in it.
Well, she grew up out there. She's got her dad's buggy, so she grew up grew up going just to Akatua like Wells with her. Yep.
Mm-hmm. Kind of like you.
Yeah.
She's so cute.
So she actually did some really good. She raised a lot of awareness, did really good. Mm-hmm. But SDORC kind of adopted her to make her legitimate. We turned her into a subcommittee.
Try to make her legitimate. Good luck with that.
We got her. She covered under insurance, right. Added her onto the, created a board, created a subcommittee,
gotcha.
Filed the paperwork correctly that we're doing business
so she's
as
legitimized.
And operating as. So it's a legitimate operation. But that's underneath us, which we are a C4. We are a political organization mm-hmm. that fights to keep the deserts and trails open
right.
to protect our rights.
So what is this an event coming up?
Well, no. The Desiree has recently, she wants, every year or so she brings up the fact that how can we go onto social media and how can we get more funds in? We need to be able to be, ask for donations and offer it as a write-off. But unfortunately, that's always been a C3 and we can't do that as a C4. So she worked really hard, came to us. We talked about it, worked really hard. She has now stepped up and created and came up with the idea for the Dirt Rider Foundation.
Is that a C3?
So it's a C3. She just finished the paperwork for it. We just got a EIN number. So we got our federal tax ID number, and we'll have a new subcommittee all lined up for us. It'll be the Dirt Rider Foundation, as well as it's going to adopt coming out of Fight for Akatua Wells. Mm-hmm. But the Dirt Rider Foundation, it's not going to – Fight for Akatua Wells, it sounds like it's limited. Mm-hmm. But, obviously Desiree rides. All over. We all ride all right. over the state of California. Mm-hmm. We travel to all the SVRAs and in not just limited here to, the state of California. We go to Utah, Arizona, Nevada, riding Prim and going, So we want to open it up and have it be more inclusive. So the Dirt Rider Foundation is just getting started out.
Sweet.
We need your support. We need anything that you can do, donations to bring it in.
Let's do a KUSI segment. Once we can, get everybody together, go down, do a segment on KUSI just for awareness.
That would be absolutely amazing
yeah.
if we can do that.
Then you can
she's
take
just
that
doing
video.
Her logo and she's going to create new, she just told up me this year, every year she designs out for us trophies for the Lost Lizard Off Road Fun Run. And then she makes them. She's a welder.
Yeah, they're beautiful.
One of her companies is Born Dirty. And so she welds and does electrical and the whole nine yards.
Yeah.
And she's created and welded together these really awesome trophies. Some of them were picture frames. Some of them were just really cool trophy designs. And this year she decided to make a collapsible portable fire pit that you can take all over. And it'll have the Dirt Rider Foundation logo,
wow.
our a couple of the other sponsors' logos. Got to do a shout out to Competitive Metals.
Mm-hmm.
They are out in El Cajon.
They probably
you need to buy your sheet
metal.
Yep, you need to get any type of sheet metal, any of your tubing if you're going to do your frame and your roll cage inside
right.
of your vehicle or any of that. And definitely hit up Competitive Metals. They've always supported San Diego Off-Road Coalition for decades. They've always given us.
Even back when we had our raffle cars, they donated the metal for that.
Yeah, they've always taken care of the San Diego Off-Road Coalition in our fight. They know that we've been pivotal in certain legislation and keeping things open. And so it's huge to have that support. And then it's going to be to see where this can take us with the Dirt Rider Foundation and with Desiree stepping up for that. We'll have a new board and it'll be open. So anybody who wants to join us, you're welcome to join us. We're going to be looking for all sorts of volunteers to come in. We'll be doing, not just our regular cleanups, but adding a little bit more to it and trying to turn it in and team up with, Glamis Black Bag Project, America's Black Bag Project, and a few others for this. So it'll be huge. Desert Cleanse Project. And she met up, Desiree said she ran into Adam from Clean Desert. Clean Desert just put on the Akatua Wells cleanup in February, and he pulled, a few hundred people, and he had, almost $25,000 in raffle prizes for his event. And she ran into him 2 weeks ago at the Iron Door in Akatua Wells, And she explained everything that we're doing right now and moving forward. And he was super proud of her. And he's like, I will take you under my wing and I will show you how to get the sponsorships and what it's going to take. And I'll give you some key contacts for certain organizations. Mm-hmm. So that's going to be huge for
that's excellent. That's excellent. Well, just we were talking a little bit off air and I don't actually know the name of the company, but this guy makes these air up, air down systems in his garage. And they come in a really nice nylon bag. It's a little small, like a scuba diving tank.
Yeah.
You go fill it up at a dive shop. And he says you can air up 80 vehicles up and down.
Oh, wow.
So, I mean, that would last an event, no problem at all. And, and Chevrolet bought a whole bunch of them. So the guy that runs Dirt Days, and we're going to do an event, a story on them as well, too. They're going to send me the contact info. And he says, oh, yeah, he'll send you definitely one. And then I'm going to put it on KUSI TV. Maybe I'll get you to bring your Jeep down. We'll use it as a demo.
Yeah.
And then I told him that I would donate it to SDORC as a raffle prize.
Wow.
So that would be a good inside contact for future events.
Because,
I mean, who out there doesn't want to have, and this thing is so simple. You snap it to your tire, put the pressure you want to go down to, walk away.
It auto deflates down.
Auto deflates. And then when you're all done, it hooks back up. I mean, we did like, I don't know how many trucks in just like a matter of minutes.
Oh, wow.
So, I think that's, and this guy designed and built them in his own garage.
That is super cool.
Yeah. So I thought about you guys and talked a lot to Chevrolet about SDORC. I go, so hopefully maybe down the road we can beat them up for some sponsorship.
Yeah.
Maybe do some, whenever we do, the events that we normally do. So
that'd be awesome.
Oh, yeah.
That'd be absolutely amazing.
Yeah. So, and told about the radio show as well. And so, and that's really what it's all about. Getting the word out, getting the word out, getting the word out.
Yep.
So how are you doing on your motorcycle event got coming up?
It's coming up. I just talked to Marty Tripes yesterday about the catering. And catering is a challenge because when you do an event like this and you're giving food with the event, you need to plan ahead for the food, but you have people show up at the event without pre-entering. So you're not sure how many people to get ready for.
Right.
So Marty's big thing is he marinates meat. And it takes him a couple of days to marinate the meat. And so we're like, well, we don't know how many people are going to show up. So we said, well, I have an idea. I know this guy that makes these all beef, high quality beef franks, hot dogs that we can get. And he says, you take a bite of this, you don't want to stop eating them. They're so good.
I want one right now. I'm hard. Well, I've got another suggestion for you, and I'll have to check with Fox Shocks. But when we did a media event out at Elsinore, they had, and it was so simple, I can't even begin to tell you, Chick-fil-A.
Really?
Chick-fil-A donated all it was buns, a piece of chicken, and sauces that you could mix in there. And I don't know what it is about eating outdoors, but it always tastes so much better. But,
that might be another
opportunity. We'll reach out to Chick-fil-A and have them donate some, maybe at your next event, just to try it out.
So Marty's going to be making hamburgers and these all beef hot dogs, boiled corn, and baked beans.
Ooh.
And probably some bread.
That's better than Chick-fil-A.
Yeah.
Yeah. So we're going to do our own thing. And Chick-fil-A sounds good. I like.
Maybe at another event, like a cleanup.
Yeah.
Like one of our. Yeah, that would be great.
A cleanup or a freeway cleanup or something like that. Because they just give them to you in boxes. I mean, you can eat it cold. It doesn't have to be steaming hot.
Yep.
So when is this your event?
Oh, it's May 15th.
Okay, May 15th. How do people sign up if they're a dual sport rider?
So go to the San Diego Adventure Riders website.
Okay.
And go in the forums. And you'll find the link will be right there on the top.
Is there a charge to join this event?
It's $100.
Okay. Yeah. What do they get for it?
You get a t-shirt, you get dinner, you get the route, and you get to participate.
And you get like a pin or something, probably a participation pin or something, or just a t-shirt.
A t-shirt.
Okay. Well, nice t-shirts are cool. Nothing wrong with that.
Yeah.
I like those.
So are you going?
You're
not a dual sporter.
No, I don't really ride a dirt bike. I can ride a dirt bike, but I seem to hurt myself
when you
most times when I prefer three wheels or four wheels. I've learned my lesson. I'm much better on three wheels.
You're not even old enough for a cage.
Oh, yes, I am. Unfortunately, I've been told by doctors the next big hit to my head is not going to be good for me.
Oh.
But I still
do
test
it.
That limit.
Yeah. Well, you got to be careful when somebody says, hey, you want to try this? Oh, hell yeah, I'll try that.
Hold my beer.
Yeah, hold my beer.
It doesn't happen all that often, but Ed just said, hey, you want to take my, what do we call it, the XLXR? It's a Honda XL 100, but it's got a 200XR motor.
Well,
in it.
Of course it does.
So it's the XLXR, and he's like, I got the helmet. So he keeps telling me, bring your helmet. And I forgot to bring my helmet. I was going to bring my orange STRC one and just ride around the neighborhood
with him, just cruise around
the neighborhood and go on our little ride,
Got the license.
And Emmy said a lot. She says, man, those two girls' helmets, him and Nicole, man, those were the coolest helmets.
Yeah, they were. We got definitely a lot of compliments on our helmets for it. Wow. So I've used mine a few times since then.
Well, sure, I would too. I mean, you have to put it
every chance I can. I'm going to put that. I'm going to protect my head.
Probably even sleeps in it. All right, let's take a quick break. You're listening to SDORC Dirt Radio FM 96.1 AM 1170.
The Answer.
All right, folks, welcome back to SDORC Dirt Radio, FM 96.1, AM 1170.
The Answer.
All right, so we're sitting around here chatting about anything and everything off-roads. And Ed, you got some news?
So I got an email saying that Red Rock Canyon State Park, that a mining company wants to go in there and start some mining.
Mm.
So how does that happen in a state park? Well, a lot of places...
How does that happen?
Well... This state park has what they call a there's small spots that are privately owned inside the park. So when they make a park, they find an area that has public land, they draw a circle around it, but there's still enclosures or little sections of land that are private. So this is a private parcel inside that has been mined in the past. So this company has bought it and they want to start mining again, and an environmental company is trying to stop them. Well, Red Rock Canyon used to have a lot of off-roading in it, and they kind of pushed us out over the years.
Mm-hmm.
We're not really in there anymore. So we talked about it, and it's really not our fight. The environmentalists, they can have it. So it was just kind of something interesting to me that we lost Red Rock Canyon through administrative processes.
Mm-hmm.
The nice trails in there, and we'll let the other guys fight it out over the mining.
Be interesting. Wouldn't it be funny if they asked for your help after throwing you out?
Yeah.
That would be funny.
Have you been to Joshua Tree?
I have, yeah. Wow. I've rock climbed there, and I've driven around, and it's a neat place. It's big.
I don't know how they stack those boulders the way they do.
How do they get like that?
I don't know. Faces. We were looking at it. We were driving along. I'm thinking, how?
Just, I mean, amazing.
It's teetering.
Yep.
It's just the weirdest. Have you been there?
Yeah. I've been there, yeah, several times. Yeah. I've done some off-roading in and out of there. That's where Colin Sauter and Jill Echo live, their Desert Cleanse Project.
Oh.
And Colin has a goal of reaching 500 tons of trash per year. And amazingly, they live there, and 99% of it comes out of Johnson Valley and Joshua Tree.
Yeah.
And
that's just terrible.
Yeah, and they pull.
Is Johnson Valley around close to Joshua?
Yeah, they're right next door to each other. They're next door.
I had no idea. I was just lost. All I knew
it was all desert.
Yeah, it's all desert. Yeah.
Oh, you were right there. You probably did some of the trails that they use for the Ultra 4 for King of the Hammers because they do a 100-mile loop. 120-mile loop, 150-mile loop right there. So it goes in and out of Joshua Tree and all of that.
And coming back, I just couldn't do the 215 and the 15. I just was ready to throw up. Some car caught fire on the 215. It took me a half hour just to go like 3 miles.
Oh, I bet.
So I said, you know what? I'm going home via Salton Sea. And it had been a while since I'd been that way. And then I hung a ride at the 78 and went up into the mountains.
Yep.
Nobody but me.
Yeah.
I mean,
beautiful
it was
out there.
Awesome.
Yes.
No. And you know, again, you know, it's there's so much out there, and it's really improved. There's been a lot of buildup.
There's been a lot of buildup down there.
Businesses, homes. There's like a lot of people are moving out
You'd
there.
Be surprised, the Salton Sea, they've, you know.
That was beautiful, too.
America's 3030 that is following suit for Newsom's 3030 plan right now. They go green. They want to build all these.
Protect 30% of the land and water by the year 3030.
Is that what it is? And you know how many so windmills are not turning out there? WTF.
Well, I just did Valley of the Moon the other day. We were sitting there counting. I think we got up to 130 windmills that we'd counted on the floor of the.
That are just sitting there.
That are there. And out of the hunt, like 10 of them were spinning and turning. But
yeah, that's hit or miss. And you know, there's a bunch of windmills to the southeast of Valley of the Moon. They're in Mexico, but they're linked to the Sunrise Power Link.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
So they get around some of the environmental rules by having them down there and selling it to us. So that's
but I just don't. I mean, they're making such a and no offense, these windmills ruin the view and the terrain.
100%. I hate looking at them. I don't like the big solar farms down there.
No.
Either. I don't like the solar farms. They disrupt the bird migration patterns because the reflection of the sun coming through as it comes through it, they kill off a lot of birds. And the windmills, they're full of hydraulic oil. It's like, you want to talk about how is that environmentally friendly, especially when they break down and they squirt out thousands of gallons of hydraulic oil.
And then I was seeing a couple of them where the blades were missing off of them.
Yeah. Yep.
And I mean,
they've had accidents with them.
Well, yeah, but you know what? I mean, everybody's, you know, telling us that's the way to go. It's not the way to go. It's not, they're not doing it right. And I don't think it has to be that big.
No.
You know what I'm saying?
The bigger the better on the windmills. The higher the better.
Well, that's what they say. I bet you can make it just as efficient. I'm not talking about the height so much as the width of the whole unit. My goodness.
So if you go driving out Highway 8, the first set of windmills you see by Golden Acorn Casino, that's actually a different. That's on tribal land.
Right.
So we don't have any say about that.
No.
Then you go a few miles further, and you look to the left, and in McCain Valley, you see another set. And that's on BLM land.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
That was, I fought vigorously to stop those going into the off-road area. It's called Lark Canyon. I really fought, and I lost by a little bit. I found out later.
Just barely, huh? Yeah, but it just goes to show you got to fight. How do you do that, folks? You'll never believe it. Join STORC.org.
Yep.
STORC.org. $25 a year. If you want your kids to enjoy what maybe you enjoyed, or maybe you've never even been out there, you know, the ocean's great. Take a run out to the desert.
It's
go see what's
amazing
out there.
Right now it is so beautiful.
Green.
Yep, I'm going to say right now it's so warm. Beautiful. The blooms, it's another super bloom, in my opinion, although others don't think so. Ed's shaking his head over here.
I hate to tell you.
I rode 80 miles out there last Saturday.
All I seen was green. I didn't see any flowers.
It was all dust and desert.
Oh, really?
No. Hands of Borrego right now, Borrego Springs right
now. In
the
mountains, it's
they've
green,
got
but
some
in the desert,
beautiful
it's not
flowers
very,
going yeah. through. Yeah. The butterflies are out like crazy right now.
In the desert?
Yes. Oh.
All I'm saying is if you've not done it, it's only a couple of hour drive. I mean, it's nothing.
Yeah.
I mean, it's just, Jesus, just.
So you know what I agree with the environmental community is that I don't like the windmills and these solar panels and these other things out of these large scale and renewable energy projects in the desert.
Mm-hmm.
Makes me crazy. And we could work together on that separately. We could sort of divide our differences.
Right.
And what we agree on is that we should have more solar in town on top of buildings.
Yes. Why are you like putting it out there in the desert? And then you have to.
And you have to
transfer it all the way into the city. That's just
and there's losses when you travel when you transfer electricity a long distance. So you put all this trouble out there, and you only get half of it when it gets here.
Yeah, if that. Yeah, no, I'm right there with you, and I think putting it on top of buildings downtown or any place, you know, parking structures,
any building.
Yeah, like any parking structure on this top floor, cover it with solar panels.
Yeah,
They've talked about putting it into roads, like actually have the road
right
by the solar panel.
Right.
There's a lot of things that can be done that aren't being done.
I rode down in Brawley growing up, going, you know, especially rodeo weekend, we would always go out, take the three-wheelers out, go riding down, and then go to the rodeo down there and have a good time. And all the places that I used to go, it's all solar field now.
You can't go anywhere near it.
Yeah, it's like a couple miles of solar field, and it's just it's miserable and terrible to drive through.
But the only way we're going to fix it is we have to do it as a group.
Yes. So speaking of that, we are working on our lobbyist and the Off-Road Vehicle Legislative Coalition. And I just wanted to give a shout out for Kathy Lynch. Honorably respect her. She has her funeral is this coming Tuesday, April 12th at 11 a.m. At St. Peter's and Paul Catholic Church up in Rocklin, California. It's just above Sacramento. Ed and I were talking about, are we going to fly up for the funeral, or are we going to go to the celebration of life? I think the celebration of life is going to be in May. And then this is the
go to the celebration.
They just announced this one's going to be on Tuesday at 11 a.m.
What I would do is send a donation, you know, from sdorc.org. And if you want me to send some, you know, from the radio show, just let me know who and where. Because I'm sure she's got some cause or something to, you know.
She has a couple of different charities that
And then if you could go for the celebration of life, I think that's more, you know,
appropriate.
And it's local, and it's the people that knew her. Yeah. You know, yeah. Well, the funeral would be too, but I don't know about you, but I'm not a funeral kind of guy.
I know that there are going to be thousands of people to support her.
Yeah, I think you're absolutely 100%
for that. So.
She was an amazing person.
Yeah. Absolutely amazing. Absolutely brilliant.
So sad.
Eloquent speaker and just was all about the policy. Wasn't about the politics. Was all about the policy. Was all about protecting our rights, our Second Amendment right to bear arms, our freedom of speech, you know, our access to public lands, whether you are a question equestrian rider, a hunter, a fisherman. She did the, you know, she she stood up for all of us.
Did you hear I guess you call it Congress in Sacramento? They closed the session with two of the officials giving a closing.
Yeah, we played it last weekend.
Oh, that's right. I knew I heard it someplace.
We played it.
Where
last
did I
weekend.
Hear that?
That was on us.
All right.
But yeah. Become a member of SDORC. Get involved in your community. We've got a couple of things coming up. Saturday, April 23rd is going to be the Lakeside Parade.
Yep.
We've got July 17th is going to be off-road nights. We are going to be selling spaces to rent your vehicle at www.sdorc.org. Yep, Pacific Island Brewery, July 17th is going to be our off-road car show.
Let's go have a beer.
Yep.
All right, folks, don't go anywhere. San Diego Air and Space Museum Radio is coming up next right here on FM 96.1 AM 1170.
The Answer.
It's in the middle of nowhere. Only one way to get there. You gotta get a little mud on.
Thanks for joining us for San Diego Off-Road Coalition Radio with Dave Stahl, the program that is working to further off-roading as a safe family experience while promoting and preserving the natural environment. To learn more about SDORC and how you can get involved, visit SDORC.org. That's SDORC.org. Join us next week at this same time for more of the latest news and initiatives in preserving the use of off-highway vehicles while protecting the land and wildlife at the same time. This has been San Diego Off-Road Coalition Radio on The Answer San Diego.
This program is sponsored by Love Radio Network.